Thanks so much for tuning in to the Happiness Happens podcast. If you're loving what you're hearing, be sure to subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, I would be so grateful if you could rate and review the show. It takes 2 seconds and it tells me what you're loving and what you're wanting more of. I'm your host, Simona Costantini, and I'm obsessed with understanding what it means to be happy. In 2018, I went through a massive journey and awakening, and I found myself having to relearn who I was and what I really wanted to do with my time on this planet. The truth is, I spent a lot of time looking happy on the outside, but not really feeling the same way on the inside. So I knew there must be other people who felt the exact same way as me, and I've learned along the way that there really are. And now I get to interview them and other thought leaders in the space on my podcast every single week. I'm a recovering people pleaser turned life coach and podcast producer. On this show, we get into what it means to be happy, the purpose and intention behind happiness, how to live a happier life, and we hear about all the hard moments that have shaped people to become resilient and living out their passion every single day. Think of this as your one-stop shop to help you live a more purposeful, inspired life. This is the Happiness Happens podcast. Are you ready to dive into this inspiring conversation? Let's go. Are you making your mental well-being a priority? I know for a long time, I didn't make that a priority until everything comes crashing down around you and you really don't even know where to begin to pick up the pieces. Today's guest, you're absolutely going to love. His name is Jeff Lopes and he's a serial entrepreneur, incredible podcast host, YouTuber, and just overall really inspiring guy. I had the pleasure of meeting Jeff just through Instagram. We had an amazing conversation there, and then I asked him to come onto the podcast. I am so grateful that I did, because today's conversation is all about how to make your mental well-being a priority. Regardless of what you're doing right now, where you are in life, and what your priorities are, there's always space to create more well-being for ourselves, and ultimately it helps us as we continue on our journey. I love this conversation with Jeff, and I'm going to give you some highlights of what we talk about. We go into understanding what our non-negotiables are in life and how that helps us prioritize family, business, and alone time. We talk about tips to maximize your time and get everything that you want to get done, done. How everyone has a purpose in your life and why it's okay to let them go when that purpose is done. Tips to strengthen your mental health and integrating family values in your business and in your lifestyle. I know you're going to love this conversation with Jeff because he's just so honest and so candid. We even got into the passing of his father and how it's really impacted him over the last year or so. I'll tell you a little bit about Jeff before we get started. He's a proud father of two, a husband, and an entrepreneur for the past 25 years. He's founded numerous companies from inception to 7- and 8-figure businesses. Jeff is currently the host of a top-rated entrepreneurial podcast called Jeff Knows Inc. Over the past 4 years, he's coached countless entrepreneurs in balancing the obstacles of fatherhood and entrepreneurship and achieving a higher level of success in both areas. As a best-selling author, Jeff has taken all of his experience to create Man's Purpose, the fastest-growing community of entrepreneur dads on the planet. So let's get into this conversation. Let's meet Jeff, and I hope that you love what we chat about. Jeff, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you here today.
I'm excited to be here. I appreciate you asking me to be on your show. It's going to be fun today.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun. I'm really excited. Okay, I want to start off by just asking you what your take on happiness is. What does happiness mean to you?
Man, there's so many layers of happiness, right? I mean, you go on a daily basis and we're always going through situations and learning how to deflect them and get them into a positive energy and energy and bring up your vibrations. But happiness overall is just being able to wake up every day and feel, one, that you're around people that truly want to be around you, that truly love you. I think that's the most important thing, is surrounding yourself with the right people and understanding how important family is, how to live with no regrets. But happiness overall is just waking up every single day and, one, with career, doing what you love, having a passion for what you love, and just being able to enjoy life to the fullest. And when you're able to do that on a regular basis, you're in a happy place. And I think that's something I've kind of mastered, where I'm able to still live this incredibly busy life with, as an entrepreneur and having all these different corporations and podcasts and books, but I'm able to still lock in my non-negotiables into my schedule every day. that is my happy time, time for myself, time to fill my own cup up, time to spend time with my kids, time to spend time with my family. So as long as you are able to manage that properly and wake up every day with a smile on your face, I mean, you're in a good place, because life throws so many curveballs on a regular basis, and you got to be able to deflect them at the same time too, be able to learn from them and put them behind you and keep moving forward always. So that is, in a little nutshell, that is my happy place.
I love that so much. I think that's a really great point that you make, especially as, you know, here's the thing. I always find it funny with entrepreneurship, because I feel like people go into entrepreneurship with the idea of like, you know, I'm going to do this thing that I love, and I'm going to work less hours, and I'm going to, you know, so on. It's not always the case. I actually, like, personally, I find myself working more hours now than I did when I was in corporate, right? Because you're working on something that you're passionate about. You're working on something that doesn't feel like work. So, you know, with that in mind, it can be very easy for people to sort of get really absorbed into what they're doing. So we have a lot of entrepreneurs that listen to this podcast, and I would love to know, you know, what are some of those things, like those ways that you find that balance? Like, how do you make sure everything gets done in your business, everything gets done in all of the different areas that you need, but then also have that time to fill your cup back up? Like, what does that look like for you?
Oh, there's so many different layers of that, right? I mean, the first is, I call it, and I just touched on it earlier, is your non-negotiables. Mm-hmm. You got to figure out in your life what things are non-negotiable. Time with my family is non-negotiable. Time for myself is non-negotiable. So once you figure those things out, you look at your schedule. I plan my schedule usually 4 weeks in advance, and I lock in those non-negotiables. I lock in 3 to 7 with my kids. So I lock in times into my schedule that I know that no matter what, those are going to be locked in. And then from there on, you build your schedule around that. And as an entrepreneur, we are crazy busy. You work way more hours than most people ever plan to do. And I think that's the excitement of it, that growth, being able to, the more you put into it, the quicker it grows. And understanding that, I think our energy just keeps building, and it's almost like this steamroll, just growing. So it's a positive thing. But when you're doing that, there's only a certain amount of hours in a day. Mm-hmm. So you got to figure out what things in your life are, like I said, non-negotiable. And the second is, what things in your life you got to remove. And that's something I actually do on a regular basis, is I actually almost sit back and dissect my whole schedule. And I look at individuals in my life that shouldn't be in my life. And I look at things I'm doing that shouldn't be in my life. And then at that point, I actually kind of delete them. And I go usually on a 4-week binge, where I'll sit back and I'll look at people in my life that are just bringing negativity. They're not adding any value to my life. And I kind of eliminate them from my life. And then I look at things on my schedule that are not needed to be there, and eliminate them. Mm-hmm. And then once you figure that out, is the next step is a sacrifice, where if certain things are important to you, you got to learn how to sacrifice certain things. So I'm up every day at 4:30 every morning, and I'm not one of those aha guys that wake up at 4:30 and like, yes, let's go. It's more of a situation where it's like, I realize from 4:30 till 9 o'clock, I get so much done before the day starts. So I'm in the office by like 8:30, 9 o'clock, like I was today. I already have worked so many things at home. I already talked to people. I already did my network. I already did my social media. I already did all these things, where now the rest of the day I can sit back and finish off some stuff in the office, do some podcasts, and eliminate. So when I'm home at 3 o'clock, I'm not stressed out, because I already got a chunk of my day already done. So it's a learning at what things we need to sacrifice into our lives, what things we need to eliminate from our lives, and then locking our non-negotiables. And one of those, like I said, is myself, where I'm a strong believer in, you got to, like Oprah, fill your cup up. You got to take care of yourself before you're allowed to take care of anybody else. And if you don't focus on yourself, your mind, body, spiritually, physically, all that stuff like that, and you're not at your peak, you're not going to be able to serve everybody at your peak. You're not going to be able to take the time to spend with your kids. You're not going to take the time to focus on your business, because you're not running at your full optimism. So you have to really focus on yourself first, and then everything else right after.
That's so beautiful. There's so much gold in there too. And I feel like, you know, everything that you said is, it makes so much sense, because it's something that's, for a lot of people, what they maybe want to do in their life every single day, maybe they're not exactly sure how, you know what I mean? It takes a lot of discipline to be able to wake up at 4:30 and continue to do that. You know what I mean? It's not like, I've never been a morning person, and I try and wake up earlier because I agree with you. I get so much stuff done, but I also really like to work late at night. You know what I mean? And so,
And that works too. I mean, if you're a night bird, I mean, if you're a late owl, whatever you want to call it, like, nighttime is fine too. It's just learning where you can slot this time in to get the most done and maximize your time, right?
Exactly. Oh, that's so good. And I like also what you said about eliminating the things and the people in your life that so don't really have their place there anymore. Something, again, that can be very difficult for people to actually do. And so, you know, how would you say, or what would you, you know, what would you suggest that people do to try and take this approach without like insulting other people or hurting other people, or you know what I mean? Because I feel like if you're cutting a friend or something like that, let's say out of your life, or like a business, some contact or colleague or something, I feel like it can be, you know, a bit hurtful to another person. You know what I mean? So how do you do that? Like,
I had this conversation with an individual the other day, and it was pretty powerful because they had the exact same mindset what you're describing right now, where they felt like they couldn't eliminate somebody out of their life, even though they realized that person was very toxic in their life, but they've been in their life for so many years. And I said to them, and I said, and this is my mindset. I've had this mindset for, in my early 20s, I already had this mindset where everyone has a purpose in your life. Mm-hmm. You could have the worst day in the world and go to the grocery store and somebody in line just gives you a little smile. And that changes your outcome and the rest of your day. That person had a purpose. You never talk to them. You'll never probably see them again, but they had a purpose for that moment. Certain people might have a purpose in your life for 5 years. Some people might have a purpose in your life for 1 year. When their purpose is done, it's okay to move on, because you're gonna fill that time or that slot with another person that's gonna have the next purpose in your life, the next moment in your life, the next cycle of your life. So it is okay. And once you understand that and be able to kind of let go with that, and there's different levels of letting go. I mean, you don't have to totally cut somebody out, but you might slow the process down or eliminate how much time you spend with them or eliminate the social gatherings you have with them, right? So you don't have to totally cut them out and be like, I'm never going to talk to you again, but understanding how much time should be dedicated to somebody. And sometimes you might have to have that open conversation with them and say, hey, listen, like we've been friends for 10 years. And you're doing A, B, C, and D that's bringing a lot of negativity in my life. And this is dragging me down. And I do care about you as a person, but if this continues, I'm going to have to eliminate you out of my life because I need to find a better level. So having that open conversation and putting in their court and allowing them to make the decision whether they want to be in your life or not. So there's different ways of taking care of it all, but I'm a strong believer in everybody has a purpose, and it's okay to eliminate people out of your life when the purpose is not there anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. I really do agree with that. I feel like everyone has a purpose in your life. There is a reason why everything happens to us. You know what I mean? Like there's a reason why we go through all of these specific things. And I completely agree with you. I find myself sometimes balancing on both sides of that though. You know what I mean? Because I feel bad. I feel guilty. You know what I mean? And I feel like at some point though, it's kind of like, there's only so much space for that to exist, right? In order for you to be able to sort of like move on, move through and hit that level.
You're not having that mindset of who do you fill the cup up first for? Mm-hmm. It's you. Once you have that mindset that I can fill my cup up first, and if I'm not truly happy and if I'm stressed, there's something wrong here. Then you understand that once you understand, when I look at every scenario, every situation, I look at how am I filling my cup up first? Is this going to benefit me? Is this going to add stress to my life? Is this going to add other time that I'm not going to have spending with my loved ones? So you have to really dissect everything and really figure out. And once you understand that it's okay to be a little selfish, it's okay to care about yourself and put yourself first. Everything else kind of slots itself in the right direction, right?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And that's a really, really good point. Okay, so question. When you say fill your cup up, what are the different things that you're doing to make sure that your cup is always staying full, that you're always in that mindset that you want to be in?
Yeah, I mean, there's different levels. One is fitness. I mean, since I was a god in my early 16, 17, when I first started lifting weights, like I always had fitness as something where it's been a big part. Sorry, so fitness has always been something that has been a big part of my life. And I can't not see it being something that's going to be the rest of my life. And it doesn't mean you have to be six pack shredded to the bone, IG athlete. It's just being healthy, taking care of yourself, moving your body, going for walks, like strengthening your muscles. Like just fitness is a huge part of me. Second is obviously diet, eating right, taking your vitamins, just taking care of yourself. The next is being in a right situation mentally. And people nowadays it's a lot more open, but obviously mental health is a big it's a big area that a lot of people need to start focusing a lot more time on and energy towards. So understanding when you are going through a downer, and we all go through them. There's no one that does not go through a downer or a moment where they question things or they have the intuition where they're not feeling right. And it's just really learning how to dissect and how to manage that and how to catch it early. Mm. And once you're able to catch it early and know the procedure we have to do, whether it's taking a little bit more time for yourself, taking a daily vacation. When I'm talking about daily vacation is spending 15 minutes doing something you love, whether it's reading a book, going for a hike, whatever it is, finding, watching a certain TV show, whatever it is, taking that 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes a day for yourself and allowing that as almost a mini vacation to kind of reset yourself is very important. And then also know when, as a busy entrepreneur, when you're on the edge of burnout. Because we always push ourselves. You got to know when that the edge is coming and be able to take a step back and, okay, reset. Let's start the path again. And being able to learn how to reset. And these are all things I think over the years I've learned to manage because I've got through, you go through moments where it's like everything is going wrong and it feels like nothing is going right. And then I'll just get home and I'll take a deep breath and I'll go for a walk with my dog and just reset yourself, learning how to reset yourself. And I think it is something I've learned to manage where I'm able to reset myself the next day. Okay, let's go on. The sun's going to rise again today. Today's a fresh day. Let's start fresh again. And being able to reset yourself like that.
I love that. That's really, really great. I love the idea of resetting yourself because I think what can happen, and I know I've found myself in this place quite a bit, and which is really interesting, especially the piece that you touched on with mental health. Like, I've never really been someone who's struggled a lot with mental health up until I would say like the last 6 months for sure. And it's unknown. You know what I mean? It's like an unknown thing for someone who doesn't really, has never really experienced that. You're like, okay, hold on here. How do we navigate this? And I think that I know for myself, and I'm sure a lot of people who are listening, when you start to feel yourself spiraling a little bit, you start to go into that dark place. It can be very hard to pull yourself back out. So what you're saying about this idea of resetting yourself, resetting your mindset, resetting your thoughts, all of that, you're giving yourself this opportunity to try again. And like, you're not putting like a limit on, like you can reset yourself in the middle of the day. Like it doesn't have to start tomorrow. Like you can start 100%. That today.
Yeah. And like I said, being able to really catch it at an early stage, being able to see the signs, feel the intuition, feel your body saying, hey, something's not right here, and being able to really hone into that and figure that out and learning yourself. And I think a lot of people, they just keep brushing and brushing aside. And then it just, life hits you and things happen and there's deaths and there's breakups and there's days at work that businesses go bad or a deal goes through. There's going to be so many different things to be able to reset it. And it also, I'm going to bring this up too, is your environment. And somebody said this to me years ago and they said, when you come home, if you walk in your door to your home looking for a fight, you're going to get a fight. And they said that to me. And I was like, that was golden little nugget, because that is one thing I'm very, very strict on myself. When I go home, I reset myself before I walk in that door to see my family. And I'll literally stop the car for the house. I'll take a couple deep breaths. I'm going to tell myself, I'll literally just tell myself 2, 3, 4 times, I'm going to have a great night. Walk in the house. Make sure you have a smile on your face. You have a smile on your face. Your kids are running up to you. They're happy. The dog's going. And it's just a relaxed environment. You walk in and you're taking all the shit you've had their whole day. And you walk in with a bad mood. You got your head down. That negative energy just floods the house. And all of a sudden everybody knows, oh, dad's in a bad mood. And it just brings the house vibration down. And then reality, the rest of the night is a shit night at home. Yeah. So being able to reset yourself. So when you are going to into the environment of a family or your friends, being able to come in with a smile and be positive, their energy is going to bring your energy up. So knowing how to reset yourself before you put yourself in a situation, whether even if you don't have a family, whether it's going to your friend's house, whether it's going to your parents' house, being able to enter into the next stage of the day with a positive attitude, even if you don't have a positive, just putting the smile on and being cheery, their energy of seeing how happy you are is going to bring up your energy. Just being able to really reset yourself when you put yourself in another environment, I think is very important as well.
Oh, that's so good. Like that's so true. Of course, that would be like the best piece of advice. I love that. I guess my biggest question out of that too, because I agree with that, but I feel like also, how do you do that? Like, let's say things happen in your day and like you want to talk to like your significant other about it, or like a roommate or whoever, and you want to talk about those different things. Is it kind of like when you reset yourself before coming into the house, like, are you tabling all of that and you're going to like deal with it again tomorrow?
No, I don't table it. I mean, there's moments to bring it all up. I mean, like you said, it's a mindset of that negative energy, right? So you walk in and you're already in a shit mode. Somebody cut off your car. You just honked to somebody. You're at the grocery store. Something happened. Like, you have that energy. If you bring that in, the house is going to change. So what I do is I reset myself. I allow the energy of my kids. Kids are always happy. Yeah. Bring me up. And then what I do is with my wife, for example, we try every night when our kids are a little older now, they're 13 to 15. When they settle down, they go to bed, we go for a long walk. We just literally do laps around the block. And that is our time that we spend about 15, 20 minutes every night. And that's our time to just reconnect. And that's the time when I'll say, hey, this happened. She'll say, this happened. That's our time to kind of like let everything out on the table and talk. And then vice versa. I'm very lucky. I have, I just recently lost my dad, which was a really hard time, and it's still going through. So it's pretty fresh still. And I'm the 44-year-old that would literally talk to my dad 3 times a day on the phone. And so it was my best friend. So it was a very hard moment to go through, and we're still going through it. And people that say time heals, that's all bullshit. Yeah. That's all bullshit. And, but I have a very close relationship with my mom, and I reflect a lot of stuff on her, and she reflects a lot of stuff on me. So when I need to just sit down and talk to somebody, I'll literally call my mom and say, hey, this is what's happening. And will she be able to solve it? No, but it should be able to just allow yourself that openness to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And she does the same with me. She's going through a lot because she was with my dad from 13 years old. They met and they were together for married for 51 years.
Wow.
And And they both took early retirement at 55, and they were for almost 25 years. They never spent a day apart.
Oh my God.
So all of a sudden, not having that in your life is hard. It's hard, right? So I've now taken on, after we're done here, I'm gonna go spend some afternoon with her. I've taken on her as almost like I'm kind of like the, it's weird to say, I'm almost a parent figure to her now, because I'm really kind of cuddling and trying to comfort her as much as I can. So life goes through different cycles, and you have to just know how to adjust to them and how to take some form of positivity when it feels like nothing's positive around you. You just got to take some positivity from it and understanding that you have to keep moving forward. One thing I say at the end of my podcast is keep moving forward. You always have to keep moving forward, and you've got to live in the present. I say this all the time too, man, you could focus on the future, focus on the back. And I talked about this all the time. You've got to really just focus on what's in front of you every day. Yeah. And if you could really deal with what's in front of you every day, everything somehow one way or another works its way out.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And I agree completely. And you know what you said, you know, when people say, oh, time heals all, like, I actually don't think that we ever like move on from a loss. I think in some way it changes us. It changes us in quite a few ways, actually. But I also think that we never really move on. I feel like we just kind of move through, and you just learn to like exist in this sort of new normal of what is your life. You know what I mean? Because there would never be, I'm so close with both of my parents. I come from a big Italian family. I couldn't imagine, like, my dad will pop by for an espresso in the middle of the day. You know what I mean? I hear you when you say that, because that family value is so strong. And I love that family value is a very strong guiding light for you. I think that's beautiful and keeps you in the track that you want to keep going in. So
100%.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Same thing. European. We're Portuguese. So European family, very, very, very tight knit. And you never truly gasp and understand a loss. There's loss of a family. There's loss, but when you're losing somebody that you have that relationship with, where it's like they're your backbone. They're the ones you call every day. They're the ones you talk to. The ones you tell your problems to. It's just like you can't pick up the phone anymore. And the way my dad actually passed was, and I know a lot of people say you never want to see somebody suffer, but when you see somebody suffer through a disease or a cancer, you have that expectation of it's happening. Mm-hmm. You almost prepare yourself. Mm-hmm. With my pops, it was, I talked to him on May 6th at 10:30 every night. I would call him and say goodnight. And we were talking to the phone saying goodnight. And I got a call 6 a.m. the next day. He fell in front of my mom in her arms and passed away in her arms with a heart attack. Wow. And it was just like this unexpected, never drank, never smoked, power walked every day. Like, it was just unexpected. So there was no closure there.
Yeah.
So I think that is the biggest pain, and I think what bothers me the most is why it just locks in my head. I can't get out. Is this could have all been prevented. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to blame it on the world and how we're living, because for the last year and a half, his doctor appointments were over a phone.
Yeah.
So the last few months before he passed, I was always looking at him. I'm like, Dad, your tummy's getting a little big. And he'd be like, it's winter. I'm gained a little weight. I'll be fine. In the summer, I'll walk a little more and I'll be fine. I'm like, cool. And then at night, he'd always be like a couple times a week. He'd be like, I'm really tired, really tired. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he's getting older. He's in his 70s. He's just getting a little older. He's always active. He's always moving around. He's got a massive garden. They're always doing stuff. So I'm like, okay, no big deal. And what was happening was his pump to his heart was slowing down and his body was retaining water and his sodium levels were coming up. So his tummy was getting full because he was retaining water and his heart was slowing down. And if he had done his normal ECGs and his normal stuff that he was doing all the time, this would have been caught 6-7 months before. And none of this happened. Maybe a small little surgery, life would move on.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so that's what I think that eased me the most is I saw the signs, but I didn't realize them. I just, mm-hmm. You live life. Right. Yeah. So I have that. I do have that, even though I spent so much time with my dad and I was always with them, and I still have that regret.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where I teach people on a regular basis, do not live with regret, make that phone call the loved one, because things happen in a second, but being able to live with no regrets and then still have regret is probably the worst feeling possible. And that is one thing I've been battling through the last while it's been that I should have caught this. I should have been more aware.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. You know, someone in my family as well went undiagnosed for like a year and have now this incredibly rare massive tumor in a spot that can't be removed. And so it's like one of those things again, that if it could have been, and this is like the battle that I have so much internally with my own self also, of like this whole time that we're living in, you know what I mean? Because like, while there's one thing that's so important, making sure that everyone is staying safe and healthy, there's a whole other like epidemic going on. Like there's a whole other side, mental health and physical health, like all it's mind blowing to me.
Yeah. And I mean, even mental health, I've seen my kids and I've seen like the minute we could put our kids in school, like, I'm like, you guys are going back to school.
And my
kids want it. And we have a lot of friends of ours, they're homeschooling. So I'm like, no, my kids are in school. They need the interaction. They need that socialization. I think it's so important. And I think that goes with all of us.
Yeah.
I mean, through the whole pandemic, that in Toronto, Canada, where we're from, like the restrictions are so tight.
And if
I follow those restrictions for the last year and a half, I wouldn't have barely seen, if anything, never saw my dad. And I was like, screw that shit. I still went and saw my parents. I couldn't give a rat's ass. And I'm so happy I did.
Right. Because then may happen. That is like a regret that I'm the exact same way. So like I'm also in just outside of Toronto. So I hear you.
where are you from?
I'm in Grimsby. I lived in the city and we moved out last year. We bought a house out here.
I had no idea you're from here locally. Yeah. I thought you were from the US.
Yeah. Okay, no, awesome. No. I hear you on the restrictions. I guess I've been living through it also. Yeah, I knew you were in Toronto.
Brampton. I'm actually in Brampton, my parents were in Etobicoke, or still, my mom's in Etobicoke still. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, my family's in Mississauga, and then we moved out to Grimsby, my husband and I, in January of 2021. And it's been great because it's nice. Like we have space and we just got a dog and like a whole nine yards and it's awesome. But I totally hear you. We did the exact same thing. We saw our family. We saw people, of course, like always making sure you're safe and that kind of thing. But my nonna, my grandma, she's 84. And she was so funny. She was like, you can't stand outside. Like you need to come inside my house. You know what I mean? Anyway, like she was just, it was hard. Yeah. It's hard because it's like, you don't know what the right or wrong thing is in general, but you just have to do what the right thing is for you and for your family. And everyone 100%, has to do that.
100%, 100%. Throughout the whole pandemic, even business-wise and stuff, I bent a lot of rules, but I mean, I bent them because I realized that I had to focus on myself. I had to focus on my staff. I had to focus on me and keeping people employed. I had to focus on keeping the businesses going because I have a couple corporations. And through the whole process, it was all about the survival mode.
Yeah.
And the minute you, I'm so happy I didn't do that, because if I were to do that and now sit back and be like, I didn't see my dad for the last year and a half.
Oh my God.
It would have just brought a different level of anger and a different level of stress on top of everything. Right.
Oh, I completely hear you. I'm glad for you that you did, that you did what was right for you. It's so important. Yeah. Okay, Jeff, I want to ask you, this is the question that I ask all my guests when they come on the show. How could someone live a happier life every day starting today?
Surround yourself with good people. That is the simplest thing, is surround yourself with good hearted people that are on the same level with you. And I'm talking, not even talking about family, I'm talking about friends. You always hear that you'd never want to be the smartest person in the room. That's mm-hmm. one. But you also want to be with people that are on the right trajectory, like you. They're on the same path as you. It doesn't have to mean career, but they're all trying to achieve more. They're all trying to grow. They're all trying to be better people on a daily basis. Cause it's so easy to surround yourself around people that are just, they're going to constantly bring you down because they don't, it's not that they don't like you. They just don't want you doing better than them.
True.
And having those people in your life, and I had a whole bunch of those people in my life years ago, and I was just like, it's time to eliminate these people out of my life. And it was probably the best thing I ever did, is being able to, like I said, surround yourself with good people and take time for yourself. Take time for yourself in the way where it's like I said, it's okay to take a daily vacation, spend 15 minutes reading a book, 15 mm-hmm. minutes going for a hike, doing something for yourself that puts a smile on your face, that you feel like I've done something for myself. Cause it's so easy to give and never give back to yourself. And the last is something we touched on is live with no regrets. Life changes in a flash of an eye. And it's just, you never know what's going to happen. You could walk outside your door and anything can happen. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, one thing, even with my kids and my wife, and I mean, we say it all the time. I give my kids, every time they leave, I make sure they give my kids a kiss, and I make sure I tell them I love them. And every time I go to bed, I make sure I tell them I love them. And having that mindset where pick up the phone, make that phone calls, like things that are inside you that your intuition is telling you that you haven't talked to that person in a long time, make that phone call. Do those things, because life changes in seconds. And the hardest thing, and you always hear this, is most people on their deathbed is the pain of regret. Mm-hmm. So don't, you're healthy, you're alive. Like, don't live with regrets. Mm-hmm. Spend the time with your loved ones. Do the things you want. Like that. What was that movie Up? That
yeah.
cartoon you watch. Yeah. It's such a powerful little cartoon, because it's so true. We're always waiting for tomorrow. We're always waiting for tomorrow. There is no damn tomorrow. You got something to do, do it now. You want to start a business, do it now. I anything I have in my head, and if you actually got to know, once you get to know me, like I'm 24/7. Like, it's in the when the pandemic hit, I was running two corporations, staff. We have rentals up in Blue Mountain. So yeah, I could tell you the places, because you know.
Oh so yeah.
We have four places in Blue Mountain. We have land in Muskoka. We have other properties. We have other stuff on top of my main company, which is Kamora, where I don't know if you know what I do full time.
No, so I don't actually.
My main business is Kamora, where we're doing this for going on to 16 years. We design and manufacture boxing and martial art equipment out of Brampton.
Wow. My husband would love that. He's a huge boxer. He probably knows that already.
So we've been doing this for, we're going into year 16. Through the whole scenario is a situation when the pandemic hit, most people are sitting back and like, oh. Pandemic hit, I started a podcast. I took pen to paper, wrote Entrepreneurial Dad, which became number one in 11 categories. Mm-hmm. I started the podcast. I started coaching. I started doing more. I took on probably 7-8 more things. I started Kitty Kitchen, which is with a chef that we do cooking courses for kids. I've started all these different things. And then when my father passed, I wanted something to keep his memory going. And in a matter of 6 days, I wrote 6 children's books. And I released this back there. It's called, the first is called Strawberry Mountain, A Lesson on Gratitude. Wow. And it's Grandpa Joe's Adventures. So there it's a book, and a chunk of the money raised from each book goes to Sick Kids Hospital, which is very close to my heart, because my son spent a lot of time at Sick Kids Hospital. That's another story for another day. So I'm releasing a book roughly every 10 to 12 weeks, we're releasing a new book. We released the first one, which became number one seller right off the bat and on Amazon. And they're just life lessons. And they're all my dad and my two kids. And it's actually, the images of them look identical to my dad and my two kids in them. So it's just stories of giving lessons to children. So I'm always going, I'm always moving. And when I put something in my head, I just do it, and I don't live with regrets. And I think that's the biggest thing, is people have this thought that tomorrow is going to be better. Tomorrow I'm going to have a little bit more money. I'll have a little more energy. No, just do it. You have something in your head, just pick up and do it. Because once you get the ball rolling, everything will start happening. Everything works its way out. Mm-hmm. Somehow in life, somehow everything works its way out. You can figure out how to make things happen. So don't live with regrets.
Mm, so So good, and it's so important to remember that. I am so grateful for you, Jeff. Thank you so much for joining me today. I would love to know where our listeners can find you so that they can connect with you and check out all of the amazing things that you have going on.
You can go directly to our website, which is jeffreylopes.com. It's JeffreyLopes.com. Or I'm on all the social platforms, but I most likely you'll be able to connect with me the most on IG. It's just at Jeff Lopes, JeffreyLopes.
Thank you so much. And thanks so much, everyone, for tuning into the podcast this week. I hope you loved this episode as much as I did. Be sure to connect with Jeff. Let us know that you're listening. Share with us on social media. And remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it.
Well, it looks like we've made it to the end of this episode. I'm so grateful for you tuning into this week's episode, and I cannot wait to see you over on the next one. If you loved this conversation and this topic as much as I did, please feel free to leave us a rating or a review wherever you're listening. It takes just a second, and it is so important for us so that we can make sure to deliver this content to those who need it. I'm wishing you the most beautiful day wherever you are in the world, and remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it.